Welcome to Wealthy After 40. Ready to ditch debt, retire sooner, and live life on your own terms? Only 54% of Gen Xers feel prepared for retirement, and 22% believe they will live a comfortable lifestyle. So if you're feeling like your finances are a hot mess express, you're not alone. I'm Daylene Higgins, founder of Elevate Finances and money coach for Gen Xers. I reached my dream of retiring at 50 while helping our daughter through college, and now I want to help you do the same. It's time to stop avoiding your finances like the plague and start having confident conversations about money. Join me every week to talk about personal budgeting, debt payoff, saving for retirement, money mindset, and leaving a legacy for future generations. Okay, friends, let's talk money. Hey, Gen Xer, imagine a life where you control your money instead of it controlling you. Financial coaching can help you learn the basics of budgeting and saving so that you can live a life without debt, have your money work for you, secure your retirement, and build a legacy for your loved ones. Let's face it, spending hours of your time trying to figure out where your money went is not serving you well. I promise you, you don't have to keep dipping into your savings every month to pay those unexpected bills and expenses. What you really need to do is head to my show notes and book a free budget Q&A call so you're no longer burnt out from your budgeting attempts, and instead, you'll be saving yourself time, money, and tears. And because you're part of my podcast family, when you book a free call with me and mention Wealthy After 40, you'll get a special $50 to $100 discount for my Financial Freedom Jumpstart Intensives, respectively. Head to the show notes to book that call and enjoy the rest of the episode. Welcome to today's episode on the Wealthy After 40. I'm excited to have guest Richard Hirsch here today. He has 30 years of experience in marketing, business development, and strategy, primarily in the health and healthcare industries. Rich has been involved in the medical alert system industry for approximately 5 years, initially as the chief marketing officer of Connect America, the nation's largest medical alert provider, and now as the chief marketing officer of Unaliware. Yes, I got it right.
Well done. Makers
of the most innovative medical alert system in the industry. Rich's passion is helping to lead small companies to great success. He has been part of three management teams that have brought startups to major financial transactions: Atkins Nutritionals, Health Club Media Network, and Earned It.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. And he looks forward to similar success with Unaliware. Rich also has a 94-year-old mother living fiercely independent, so his work with Unaliware is quite personal and meaningful. So Absolutely. Thank you, Richard. Glad to have you.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for the time. And I look forward to helping your audience through this rather challenging process in many cases.
Yes, thank you. I'm so excited to talk about this because I know as Gen Xers, we are either there or we're almost there. It's definitely something we should have more knowledge around. So to talk about it specifically, aging in place, caring for aging parents. What are some tips and thoughts that you have for the audience?
Well, I think that I'll start like at 30,000 feet. Generally, if you're caring for an aging parent, you might be doing it in the same town, remotely. You might be doing it in the same house. But I think the one word that you hear most often from caregivers in that space, in that situation, is they want to be respectful. And it's a big, important situation because in many cases, the older adult you're dealing with is slowly losing their sense of control and power over their life, and providing them with, giving them opportunities to have that sense of control and power and allow them to maintain their independence. It's easy for a loved one to think that they're helping at all times by making things easier for their parents and make things simpler and making decisions for them. And I can tell from my own personal experience that many times that is not helpful. It actually tends to create the relationship, make it more rocky. And so I just encourage people to think about how they want to interact with their loved ones, their older loved ones, in ways that are respectful, and try to give them as much independence and as much sense of ownership and agency about their life as possible, because it will just be, in most situations, be uniformly more positive.
Yeah, it is definitely a segueing moment for sure, having been there myself, and very important. It was, you know, you're respecting your parent, but yet you're taking over. And I say that too strongly. It's like you're stepping into this in charge role, and it's a really, really hard to balance and still find that love of the parent and not create the upset. So yes.
And another with my mom, you know, she, you know, several years ago, there was, I forget what it was, but it was something of value. And she's like, well, now this is, you know, you and your brother get to decide, you know, what to do with this. You know, it's yours. And every month or two, she reminds us of that, you know, this isn't hers anymore, even though she owned it, it was ours. But of course, every month or so, she would have an opinion about what we should be doing. So, you know, even though there's a sense of wanting to let go, there also is a sense of wanting to control. And you got to honor both sides of that. And that can be relatively tough at times, because it is a bit of an emotional roller coaster for not just for the caregivers, for the older adults as well. And you have to be able to kind of pivot to make sure that you're properly addressing them in the situation they're in at that moment. And it may not be the same as it was, you know, a month ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. That changes what you're dealing with, how they're feeling, what they're thinking, or, you know, able to cognitively think. So very, very true. So help us understand better. Say we have a parent who is, you know, pretty independent, but they're, you know, older, like your mother, you know, in their 90s, but really showing that they are independent, seem to be well off, but you worry, right? As kids, we worry about our parents, especially when they're by themselves. Maybe the other spouse has either, you know, passed on or had to move out. So how can we provide peace on both sides of that?
Well, you know, I really have been now about almost 6 years now in the medical alert space that people call categorically the I've fallen, I can't get up space, which anybody under 65 kind of laughs at because it's a late night comedy show meme. But anyone over 65 is horrified by, because they don't want to live that experience. And so there's an industry out there, which I'm in, called the medical alert industry. And it's designed conceptually to provide peace of mind for both the wearer as well as for the loved one. And I can explain for those listeners that don't know exactly what a medical alert is and how it might be different from, say, an Apple Watch. I'm happy to get into that in a little more detail as you request. But really, the issue is that you want something, if the person wants to remain independent, but, you know, they may be living by themselves for the first time in 30 years. You know, they may be dealing with some uncertainties, either health-wise or emotion-wise, that they haven't been dealt with previously. Many families are concerned, you know, does the person have a way to get help if they need help? And that's true not just for like EMS, but like, you know, if my mom is in the house and she needs help and she has no idea where her phone is, which in this day and age with so many cord cutters, that happens all the time. How do they get help? Whether that's an EMS, police, or fire, or that's just having someone call me to say, come over and help. Like, how does that work? And how do we create a situation that works well and smoothly, as well as in the worst case scenario, which is what that, you know, that commercial is all about, if they've fallen and if they're not conscious or they're conscious, but they can't move. You know, those are the visuals that come to mind for a lot of people. And so how do you provide peace of mind on both sides? And peace of mind on the side of the caregiver is, how do I know that the person that I got this for, or that got it for themselves, how do I know they're wearing it? How will this, you know, how do I know it's not sitting on the bedpost or in a drawer, which it happens a lot for some of these devices? And then on the wearer side, it's, you know, looking at something and saying, I don't want to be stigmatized, right? I don't want to go outside and feel like people know that I'm old. I don't feel old, right? Yeah. And I don't want to be walking around. You know, the traditional design of these products is a pendant, right? You wear around your neck. And I remember talking to a gentleman a few months ago, and he was getting our product, which is a watch. And he said, we asked him why, and he said, because I don't want to wear a garage door opener around my neck. And I thought that was really like
Yeah.
perfect. Like that's almost as good as I fall and I can't get up. You don't want to be stigmatized. You don't want to feel like you're old. When you're out and about, you don't want people like targeting you at all. And you want something that you can wear really round the clock, because that gives the person the peace of mind, and that gives the loved one the peace of mind as well. And so I'm going to stop there, but I think that's really what you want to think about is what will they wear and what will they wear regularly, so that you can have peace of mind across both the wearer and the loved ones.
Yeah, that was so important to, like you said in that story, to reach out to them. What are their feelings about the different options and learning about these different options as, caregivers that we will be or have been or are, knowing that there's options. And because I remember, not fighting parents, but like, okay, you need to do this. Well, I don't need it, and they don't see the concern like you see in the concern. And so being able to come into that with the options as opposed to, the necklace, the, goes with that commercial that I think will live down as the one always, remembered. But yet prior to this, I worked in law enforcement and the, deaths from a fall because the older person, and not all of them were, very, very old. They were older, but it's one was on ice, one was just in the garden. It can happen anywhere, anytime. And being able to make that connection, like you said, with either EMS or a neighbor or a whoever it may be is so, so important. So how do we just, well, okay, what are our options? Let's go there, I guess. I know you have one product, but like, what are the options for us to suggest to our, elderly parents? And then how would we know best which one would work in our circumstances? 'Cause I'm wondering if it's also like, rural or, in a suburb or whatever. So.
Well, let me take one quick step to address the conversation we were having. I think it's an important thing to bring up. I'm going to get a little nerdy for a second, so forgive me, but so I just want to bring up a little bit of data because I think it really shines a light on this industry and the challenges that people have. And I'm sure the data they're going to people listening to this are going to nod and go, "Yep, I totally get that." So, the data shows right now that only about 7% of older adults 70 and older have one of these devices, right? So 93% don't. We're talking 60 million seniors, 7% have one, 93% don't. And yet, Forbes did a survey last year of 2,000 people that have these medical alert devices, not just ours, but all different companies. And they interviewed them. 87% said that the device that they had either saved them in an emergency or prevented an event from escalating to an emergency. Like, they could call someone and they'd come over and help them versus, or they could use the device to get someone to come over and help them versus EMS. So you got this really weird, like two really weird points of data. 7%, this is a very, very inexpensive insurance if you think about it that way. And yet the people that have it, the vast majority are saying, "Hey, this allowed me to age in place longer, to not go to the hospital, to not go to a nursing home, to not be a burden on my kids." Like all of these things, all these cascading positives that come out of this survey with people that actually are wearers. And so the only reason why these two don't connect, why there's so few people getting this benefit, is because most people have just basically vetoed. The older adult has veto power. They veto the medical alert pendant. And they say, "I don't want to wear it," just like the guy not wanting to wear a garage door opener. And they're not aware of other options that are out there. And I think that's why I want to now pivot to that sense of options to help you. But it really is a vital service. And so it's just unfortunate that that number, that 7%, should really be 70%. There'd be so many lives saved, so much saving on hospitalization and on so many other things, and nursing homes and things of that nature, and just being able to live longer and age in place longer. And that's what we're fighting for as a company. We're trying to destigmatize the industry and give people an option that both the wearer is going to want to wear and the loved one's going to be comforted by the fact that the wearer is wearing it.
Yeah, it's so important, so important. So yes. So again, what are our options? What are we looking at?
So the first thing when you're talking to a parent or a loved one, you first, I mean, you want to ask them, how do you want to wear this device? Like, don't even get into the conversation about all the different things you could do in terms of features and benefits. How will you wear it to make you most comfortable to wear it? Now, there are some people that are completely happy wearing a pendant. And if they want to wear the pendant, then there's plenty of options out there. And that'd be great. The thing I would point out, though, is that many people get these devices for fall detection, to detect in case of a fall that the device would go off automatically and connect to a monitoring center where the agent could either talk to the wearer through the device or get them the help they need if they're not responsive. And the challenge is that people will get the pendant from any company and they'll wear it for a few days. They'll start to be embarrassed when they go outside, or they don't want it knocking against their chest, and they'll put it under their shirt. And what companies won't tell you is that if you do that, you actually invalidate the fall detection mechanism of the device. So by trying to make it less stigmatizing, you actually are paying for a service you're actually not getting. So the first question is, how do you want to wear it? And if they say, oh, I'm happy to wear a pendant, then you want to make sure they actually are happy to wear it at all times in outside their clothes.
Displayed. Yeah.
It's an
Wow.
important component. And then even with the pendant, if you get it, the company will provide you with a separate device, a separate thing you can wear around your wrist at night, because nobody wants to wear a pendant in bed because it could choke you. If you flip over in bed, it could press against your chest and wake you up. It could set off the alarm, unexpectedly, because it's usually the alert button, usually on the face of the device. So imagine trying to go to sleep after that. It's not going to happen, right? So people, but then if you wear it, that you switch from the around your neck to on your wrist, you don't have fall detection anymore. So you go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and you fall. If you can press the button, that's great. But if you can't, you suddenly lose the one of the things, again, you're paying for at the time when they most need it. So the pendants have been around for a long time. They're the least expensive option. And for some people, it'll work. And maybe they're willing to pay for 80% of the benefit or 60% of the benefit. But the most important thing is really figuring out whether the person's going to wear it, because there are so many pendants right now sitting in closets and sitting in drawers. And the parent takes it out when the kids come over as a to just to show they're wearing it. And then the minute they leave, it goes back in. And that's not serving anybody. So just that's the most important thing. Now, if they say, look, I'm not going to wear this around my neck, that actually is a win, right? Because there are risk-based options that now exist. So you don't have to then say, it's not just a yes or no decision. You can say, okay, well, let's look at the risk-based options. And again, if fall detection is important, and for many people it is important, then it comes down to our product, which is called the Kinega watch. And there are several other companies that now make watches or risk-based devices with fall detection, including the Apple Watch, right, which I'll talk about in a second. It really isn't a medical alert device, but I will talk about it in a second. And so then you're down to a handful, right? So if you go to do a Google search and you see like there's a million listings, and you type in best medical alert device, and you're overwhelmed by the millions of pages that are out there, you can narrow it down just by Googling best medical alert watch with fall detection. And now you've narrowed it down to just really a handful of options. And then the question comes down to, okay, you want fall detection, you want to wear it on the wrist. So the options that are out there, most of them, they only have, actually all of them only have an internal battery. And so you take the watch off your wrist to charge. And sometimes that charging can take up to 2 hours. And the battery may have to be taken, the watch may have to be taken off every 10 to 12 hours in order to charge the internal battery. Now, if you think about your loved one, if they're going to have to take this off twice a day, and there's going to be 2 hours in time between when they take it off and put it back on, that's not really a great way to build a habit of actual regular usage. And there's a challenge there, because you want something that they don't really have to take off, because you want to build the habit of them wearing it. And as soon as they start wearing it regularly, they don't have to take it off, it's a win for everybody in the family. So Unfortunately, everything else out there, you have to take off your wrist to charge. The Kinega watch, my company, it has uniquely has rechargeable batteries. So the decision was, let's provide people with two sets of batteries and a charger for the batteries. And every day to day and a half, take the batteries that are in the watch that are depleted and put them in the charger, and take the ones that are sitting in the charger and put them in the battery in the watch. That takes only about 5 to 10 seconds. And then again, it's always on their wrist. They can wear it in the shower, things of that nature. So it you want to build a habit, and a habit is directly related to regular and consistent usage. So if you're down to a watch or a wrist-based device with fall detection, you want to figure out whether your loved one is willing to choose an option that they have to take off multiple times a day for multiple hours. And if the answer is no, then your really only option is our company. We have the only patented wrist-based device that is charged by rechargeable batteries. And so I'll stop there. I mean, I can go into a lot of other differences and details, but that really is how the person can think about the thought process. I will add one more thing. You don't think about this, you know, very often, but you know, when you go home and you have your cell phone, the first thing you do with your mobile phone, your cell phone, is it automatically switches over to your Wi-Fi, right? And the reason why you do that is because your Wi-Fi is the communication through your Wi-Fi, through your phone, your cell phone, is much more reliable in your house because you're trying to avoid the cellular blockages of walls and ceilings. This industry has not really grown up to realize that. And so everything else out there, and I'll put the Apple Watch to the side for a second, everything else out there in the medical alert space only connects through a cellular connection. So we connect through Wi-Fi in the home and then Verizon Cellular when they leave the home. And we think that's nuts because the data shows that about 70% of the time that a wearer needs this device, they're at home by themselves. It's the visual that everyone thinks about. But if it only connects to cellular, and these devices are even smaller than your cell phone, so you're going to go home and automatically switch your cell phone to Wi-Fi because you know that that's more likely to have a much more reliable communication. When you need to make calls to your friends, you know, call to place orders, but the device that has to be there 24/7 to save someone, that has to be on cellular. That to us makes no sense. And the companies in this industry don't really have an answer for it. So we collect the Wi-Fi information of the wearer, their wearer, the Wi-Fi name and password. We actually configure the watch before it goes out. And then when it arrives, it's already configured. So the wearer doesn't have to do anything to set it up. We've done all the setup for them. And so you want to think about if you get another device, and that's true, by the way, for the pendants, they're all cellular connected. You want to make sure that if you get a device that is only cellular, you want to do test calls in every room of the house. You want to push the alert button, see if it connects to the monitoring center. How clear is the call? Can I talk to the agent? You want to do that everywhere in the house, in the basement. You want to do it in different parts. If you have a big kitchen, different parts of your kitchen, you want to do it in your internal bathrooms. We hear this all the time that people return these products because they don't work everywhere in their house, which is kind of defeating the purpose. It's like getting into a car and only randomly having car insurance. You would never do that. But in this case, you're doing that with these devices. So do test calls if you're choosing an alternative option, even a pendant. And if it doesn't work, they don't have an option for Wi-Fi. You really have to think about a Wi-Fi option. And if it's a watch, it really is our company only. Not being arrogant, it's just true.
Yeah, no. And I'm thinking through this as you're sharing that. My cellular connection at my home is spotty at best, if not non-existent. And, you know, it's like, I'm just on the edge of the ending of two of them. So in that area, and I just think, oh my gosh, you know, we don't have a ton of older, but they are getting older starting. And I think, my goodness, you know, it's good to know and understand that as, you know, as the caregiver and as to help your aging parent, number one, who is new to technology, you know, they don't understand a lot of this. Most of them have not grown up with it. And so being able to explain it, hopefully to them. So hopefully those that are listening, you can, you know, think through this, let it simmer in your head and how to best explain it to your, you know, mother or your father. So my mom popped in my head. And I'm thinking, okay, if I had her wear a watch, and you showed me yours before we started. So if you'll show, we are on YouTube, but yes. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, she would be
Here are the
like,
batteries. Batteries are here,
right
right?
there. She would
And the
be
watch.
like, do you
That's it.
have a female version? Because that would be my mom with a feminine. So
It's a
let's
very
talk
fair
about
point.
that.
So I mean, the challenge is that you make a trade-off with this device, and that is the trade-off is that the band is going to be a bit thicker. It's about 1 inch across because that's the size necessary to have batteries that can last at least a day and up to 36 hours. And so you're right, it's not heavy, but it does look a little bit bulky for a woman. Now, that being said, 65% of our wearers are women, and our oldest wearer, she's 103, and she's been wearing a watch round the clock, round the clock. I mean, no one else is doing this round the clock for 3 years. Most of our wearers, about 85% of our wearers, never take their watch off. So yeah, do we get returns from people who get it for their parent and the parent takes it out, looks at it and goes, I'm not going to wear it? Yeah, but not nearly as many returns as the people that are getting these gigantic, pendants that they have to wear on their neck, and then they refuse those in much greater quantities. So, what we do is when people call and say, well, I got this and my mom is a little bit concerned, it's never the dad. The dad is like, they'll happily wear this. But and we're like, just have her try it on, ask her to wear it for a couple of days. And more often than not, they just forget they have it on. That's the beautiful thing about this, is that aside from changing the batteries, it kind of just blends into the background. Now, that being said, the pendant, the challenge with that and with some other wrist-based devices is it's only a medical alert device. And so the challenge is that they don't really get any benefits every day from wearing it because, it's an emergency device. So only in an emergency or in a major or minor emergency, you're going to use it. So like after a while, like, well, I don't think I need this anymore. Or I'm going to take it off because I'm going out. I don't want to wear it. And then don't put it back on. Ours is a watch. It tells time, tells date. It has medication reminder functionality. It's got no other functionality because unlike the Apple Watch, we don't want to invent a product that's a touch screen because most of our wearers can't operate a touch screen, even a traditional tablet. When you get down to icons that are 1/16th the size of that on a tablet, it's even more challenging. And there's actually, science behind this. As you get older, you lose what's called your galvanic response. And that's you get dehydrated at your fingertips. You have dehydrated fingertips, the icons on a screen are not activated. It's why if you ever got a call from your parents saying, I'm at the ATM, I keep pushing the button and nothing works. Tell them to lick their finger. I hate to know it's disgusting. I'm not saying it's a probably
No,
the
it's true
CDC is probably
though.
going to call me, but like
Yes.
that's all it is. And so imagine taking that ATM size, bring it down to a phone. Okay, now bring it down to a watch. And so it's just in an emergency, you don't want someone trying to fumble through series of screens to get help. So ours is just a watch, time, date, medication reminders, and emergency response. And ours also is uniquely activated through button, fall detection, or voice. So you can actually use your voice to ask for help as well. So those people that don't have it on when they sleep at night, if they're 10 feet away, they can call out for help and the watch will still connect to the agent that can speak to them through the watch or get them the help they need. If you have a device that isn't voice activated and you're 10 feet away, you might as well be 10,000 miles away. The stories we hear of people on the ground crawling to their phone, it really breaks your heart. And we are trying to prevent that as much as we can with our product. And then lastly, the one thing I want to mention is that, and because we're quite proud of this, we're not a big company in this space. We have thousands of wearers throughout the country, but there are companies that have hundreds of thousands of wearers throughout the country. But we just got rated last year by the New York Times Wirecutter, the best medical alert device in the industry. And so it's a huge honor, right? Because we built this from the ground up in the United States. We built it with the help of hundreds of independent seniors who were in focus groups, in-home visits, who told us what they wanted. And then it took about 5 years to build this product, and it's been out for about 5 years. And we are serving a need that, if you look at that 7% number I was telling you, and the 87%, it's a dramatically unmet need, and we're doing our best to give people, like I said, that non-stigmatizing option that just gives them the time during the day when they want it and protects them when they need it.
I love that. Being able to have that and understand that. Okay, so to make clear, because I'm sure I know how it works, but just to explain to listeners, so the elderly parent falls or is just in need of EMS, they call out, it calls an agent. So the agent is in a different center that is not in EMS, correct?
Yeah, so with our product, if you're shopping for other products, you can ask this question, but our product is uniquely three ways to get help. They're not connected to each other. They're completely independent. It's like overlays of insurance, right? So proactively, you can call out for help and the watch will activate and connect to the monitoring center, or you can push the only button on the watch. That's the other thing I wanted to point out. Some of these watches out there have multiple buttons that all look the same. I mean, that's just insane to us to have more than one button you have to push in an emergency. It's already a stressful experience for the wearer. Trying to figure out what button to push is just, it's wrong. So we don't do that. One button, it's the side button, it's the crown or stem button, you know, that you used to have to pull out to adjust the time on an analog watch. So our wearers really understand what that is because they've had experience with that with the Timexes and Seikos, you know, decades ago. And then also fall detection will automatically, without them doing anything, if it detects a fall, it'll connect to the monitoring center. And all those three alerts go to a 24/7, 365 US-based monitoring center. And the agent that gets that alert will try to speak to the wearer through the watch. And that agent will immediately know a number of things. They'll know who the wearer is, they'll know where the wearer is, because there's GPS tied into this. And they'll have all the wearer's emergency contacts. And if they have medical allergies and if they have a lockbox or a spare key location, they have all that data sitting on a screen in front of them. And they're going to try to speak to the wearer through the watch for us or through whatever device. I'll use our watch as an example. So our company is called Unali Wear. So the agent will say, "Unali Wear emergency response, how can we help you?" And so if the wearer, like your mom, if the wearer is, or my mom, if they're responsive, they're completely in charge. That goes back to the original part of our conversation about making sure they feel like, because they should have the right to maintain control. And they can decide. No one's gonna, the agent's not gonna, unless they don't sound incoherent, the agent's not gonna tell them what to do. They're gonna say, "How can we help you?" And if they say, "You know, I'm on the floor and I can't get up, can you please just have my neighbor come over and help me?" They can do that. If they're out and about and they say, "You know what, I'm lost and I forget how to get home," they can direct them home. If they say, "You know, there's a burglar outside," or, "I think there's someone outside, can you please call the police?" They can do that. We've had people use the watch to call the monitoring center because they don't know where their phone is and they're cold and they want the blankets on the top of the closet and they don't want to shimmy up a step stool. And so they want the monitoring center agent to call their daughter to come around the corner to get the blankets from them. Perfectly valid reason to use it. So major emergencies and minor emergencies. So as long as they're conscious, they direct whatever care they need. If they're not responsive, then they try them on their pri the agent tries them on their primary phone number. If they're not responsive there, they try their emergency contacts. They can provide as few as one and as many as three, usually people who live close by, if they can do that. And they'll say, "Hey, we received an alert from this person on their watch, and we tried them on their phone, and we can't reach them. You know, are you nearby? You know, can you do a well check?" And if the person is nearby, the agent will wait. But if they're not nearby, the agent can dispatch EMS directly to their GPS location. That's true whether they're at home, they're out shopping, or they're in Alaska. It works the same way around the country. And then the agent can do two things. They can relay to the EMS, they can dispatch it directly. They don't have to call 911. They have the same access to EMS services 911 does. They can relay the information that's been provided to us by the loved one or by the wearer. You know, if there's, like I said, a lockbox in their house, or they're in their home and they have a lockbox or a spare key location, or they're allergic to certain medicines, you know, things you want EMS to know so that they can get to you as quickly as possible and treat you as quickly as possible, as intelligently as possible. All that can be passed along. And then the agent will also then call every emergency contact and let them know what's taking place. And most importantly, the agent, no matter which agent of the hundreds of agents that can pick up and handle this emergency, will always call out from the same phone number. So that everyone in the care circle, including the wearer, can put it in their contact list so they know it's not spam, which is super important. We've had people who have gotten a call at 3 in the morning from the monitoring center. They would never have picked it up if they didn't have it in their contact list to say it's the monitoring center. And they pick it up and they say, we've got an alert from your father. He's not responding. What do you mean? He's sleeping in the next room. Like he's in our house and he sleeps next door. Of course, they get up and he's in the garage and he's on the ground. And I mean, it's amazing. There's no fear. I'm not trying to sell on fear, but it's amazing what can happen in the middle of the night and when you're not around. And that's true, for my mom. It's true for my mother and father-in-law. They just things happen, even when you're nearby. And so that's where this provides peace of mind for all involved.
Oh, I love this. I love this and the knowledge. And hopefully, listeners, you have learned a lot. You're able to support somebody, whether you're in a situation of aging parents or, maybe you've got some grandparents, whatever it may be. Okay, Richard, when they're at the point they're like, man, I need to know more, need more, I need to dial in, I need to understand more of this concept and pricing and all of that, how do they reach you or your company?
So the company is called Unaliware. I'll explain what that means in a second, but it's spelled, I'm sure it'll be in the copy,
In the
but
show notes, yep.
yeah, but UNALIWEAR, Unaliware.com. We also have a really robust and helpful YouTube channel. We have short videos about the truths about medical alert systems, things you should know about, things I talked about here, other things as well. And you can watch those videos. You're never going to be told this information from other companies. They just want to hard sell you. And we're a mission-based company. I'll explain how we got together and got created in a second. We just want to make sure people get what they need to be safe and protected. It's not really about getting that extra sale or making people feel like they have to buy something like they're buying a used car. That's not how we operate. So we want to give you the information. We have a great brochure you can get from our website. Comparison information comparing us to the Apple Watch. We didn't touch too much on that, but the Apple Watch, has to be taken off to charge. It's very complicated to set up and use. It only goes to 911. It doesn't go to a monitoring center and have all those services that I just mentioned. And it's not really designed for an older adult on a lot of levels. It also is sending a lot of false alerts to 911, from ski resorts and from amusement parks because of the false fall alerts. And so, of course, if you're 911, you want to get verification that somebody needs help before you send help. So unlike us, if you're not responsive, our device and our agents will get you help. It may not be the case with 911. It's just because of how many false alerts they're getting from the Apple Watch. And most seniors and older adults don't want 911 to be the first, so they don't want to be embarrassed. So they want this to be a little more discreet in most cases. And then, so the company is called Unaliware. The watch is called the Kinega Watch. And the reason why is because the founder, Jean Ann Booth, she is an electrical engineer, and she sold her last two companies to Apple, ironically, and Texas Instruments. And she had retired, and her mom was turning 80, and she had to get her a medical alert device. And the mother refused everything that was on the market around 2013. There just wasn't anything she was willing to wear. And Jean Ann was like, there's got to be something better. And so she, with her investors and her developers in Austin, Texas, created the Kinega watch through all the and using her mom, which was great. She was the senior, in quotation marks, experience officer, right? So everything had to go through her to say, would this be great for a senior? So even the white on black lettering of our screen helps people that have somewhat, macular degeneration. So it's not hard to read the time, voice activation, people that may have even more sight issues. And then she's part Native American. So in Cherokee, Unali means friend, and Kanega means speak. So we're the friend that speaks to you.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That is awesome. So great. Glad this is out there. It's new. I already know a handful of people I'm going to share the information with. Just having been in that situation, it's nice to have that, that comfort, that peace that your parent is going to be looked out for, even if you are in the other room. That I do like that. So thank you so much, Rich, for being here. Appreciate it. And listeners, all of his contact information, company information will be down in our show notes. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Every week, my goal is to help you get one step closer to financial freedom and making confident decisions so your money starts working for you. Having a community of support is important to your financial success. I would love to have you join me in my free Facebook community, All Things Personal Finance. Inside this group, every live training, action challenge, and posts are filled with tips and strategies to help you progress to financial freedom. If you have questions from today's episode or want to learn more, follow me on Instagram at Elevate Finances. If you're looking for personalized support to get your finances on track, check out my website at elevatefinances.us to learn more about how I can support you with one-on-one coaching. Thanks and have a wonderful day.